You're listening to the Money Train Sports Betting Podcast. Now, here are your degenerate hosts, Derek Timmons and Uncle Chet.
Yeah, baby. Welcome into another episode of the Money Train Sports Betting Podcast. As always, I am your host, Derek Timmons, and your co-host, Uncle Chet. It's been a couple weeks. Life got in the way, but we are back and ready to rock and roll. How are you doing, Uncle Chet?
Good. Finally, accidentally had a good week. So want to ride that momentum into this week. I actually like this week's card more than any other before it. So I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking at this college football weekend, all the entire slate this weekend. This is not all that exciting to me for some reason. There isn't that big marquee matchup this week that has me drooling. But I mean, I want to play something here that describes my week.
What the fuck, y'all? God damn! God damn! God damn!
That's pretty much how my week is gone.
Was it bad? Was it bad? I can't tell.
God damn. Oh man, I was riding high on cloud nine. Giants got that big game four victory, and then they went out yesterday and shat the bed, and Dodgers forced the game five, and game five in San Francisco tomorrow, and I've been in agony ever since, and I'm going to that game tomorrow, and it's just been a hell of an emotional roller coaster. But hey man, I'm happy for you and your Atlanta Braves clinching the NLCS berth there for you guys.
Yeah, second in as many years, and we did so without, you know, our ace Soraka, Ronald Acuña, and Marcell Ozuna. So pretty much the middle of our lineup, our ace, and somehow we pieced together. Soler tested positive for COVID right before the game, so I was freaking out a little. And we rushed Morton out there on short rest, and had that backfired, I would not have liked our chances. So luckily Freddie Freeman hit a knocked a homer off of Hader, so that was nice.
Yeah, kudos to you guys for getting the job done in game four. Unfortunately, the Giants couldn't do the same, and so now I live in agony for the next 24 hours.
I'll take the agony of three World Series in 10 years. Yeah, how agonizing.
You know what's crazy? I've been saying this all week, dude. So the three World Series that the Giants played in and won, I wasn't in this much agony. Like, this is the Dodgers. I do not want to get eliminated by the Dodgers. This takes the World Series to a whole another level, in my opinion. It's just been a crazy roller coaster emotional week, and I'm just ready to get it over with in the next 24 hours.
Yeah, well, whoever wins the series is probably going to sweep the Braves, so probably don't feel good about it. But, yeah, this is definitely the World Series right here.
Yeah, all right, let's get started. First game on we got seven games we want to cover for you guys here. First one on the list here is UCF at Cincinnati. This line opened up at UCF plus 10.5. It's since gone up to UCF plus 21. My love affair for Cincinnati hasn't gotten noticed. It goes way back to last season. I've been high on Cincinnati. I posted my college football predictions before week one, and I looked at it the other day. It's actually looking pretty good. I had Georgia sitting number one. They seem to be almost right there, clinching the number one spot, if not a spot in the college football playoff. A lot can happen still, though, but I had Iowa at number two. They've shat the bed this season. It's been a disastrous season for the Cyclones. I have Oregon at number three. They've got a very outside shot of the college football playoff, but they're still alive. Still alive, I'll give them that. And I have Cincinnati at number four. They're currently sitting at number three in the national now. We still have to wait to see what the college football committee thinks of Cincinnati when they come out with their first rankings of the season in November. But they've passed every test this season, right? They dominated Indiana. They dominated Notre Dame. Like, I spoke on record earlier in the season that Notre Dame was way overrated, and I was confident Cincinnati was going to run the train on them, and they did. Now, this 21-point spread here has me a bit worried. I hope Cincinnati doesn't come in and take UCF lightly. UCF, they're without their starting quarterback, Dylan Gabriel, so I'm hoping they don't take them lightly, but at the same time, I kind of am, because I am liking that UCF plus 21 points here. I think their offense will be just good enough to put enough points on the board to cover the 21. And this could be a bit of they could catch the Bearcats off guard in this matchup, in my opinion. Any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, no, I think the spread is high, but I think the spread's high for a reason. Obviously, I'm a huge Gus Malzahn fan. I think he's a fantastic offensive mind. I just don't know if he has, you know, quite the athletes at UCF that he did at Auburn. But nonetheless, yeah, the line's definitely moved up quite a bit, up to 21. You know, obviously with Cincinnati getting a huge win against Notre Dame, their time to slip up was last week against Temple, yeah. Right? It's 28-point favorites, I believe. But nonetheless, they didn't. They won by 45. So 45 or 46. But that's indicative of a well-coached team. It's indicative of a good game plan and keeping your guys on deck. Now, I love, actually, my favorite bit of the week is Cincinnati minus 21 for a few reasons. But, you know, let's kind of look to the remainder of Cincinnati's schedule, right? So they've got Navy, Tulane, Tulsa, South Florida, SMU, East Carolina. So not exactly any world beaters there. It doesn't appear they're really going to have an opportunity to have another showcase win. What they've done thus far is really their best work, right? Mm-hmm. So in their instance, style points absolutely matter. It's not good enough just to win. They have to dominate their competition. Luke Fickell knows that. But more specifically, UCF has a ton of injuries, specifically on the defensive backfield. So again, I think that Luke Fickell has these guys ready to go. It's not good enough just to win. They not only have to run the table, but they have to be the clear-cut best team in their conference. So, you know, I could see them continuously putting their foot on the gas. Cincinnati has no look ahead here. So, give me the Bearcats, lay the 21. I think UCF is hurt, and they got guys in positions that shouldn't even be on the field.
Yeah, definitely don't disagree with you on those points there. I don't know, I just have a feeling UCF is going to sneak up on Cincinnati here in this matchup.
Yeah, I can see the back door being wide open, a 27-point, lead or a 24-point lead late, and, you know, a Gus Malzahn misdirection play, and boom, you got yourself a winner. So I can definitely see it, but I think the Cincinnati defense is really going to be the best unit on the field.
Yeah, another angle you guys can take is Cincinnati first half, minus 11.5. I fully expect them to be up by 2 touchdowns at halftime. So that's a different angle you guys could take there. Next game on the list here is we have Michigan State at Indy, Indiana. We buried Indiana first week of the season. They are still buried. They're not coming back up as zombies either. They're firmly in our graveyard, and I am fading them at home again. Once again, I'm liking Michigan State here. Let's see if I could find it on my phone here.
Yeah, it opened at 3, and it's now up to 4.5.
All right, yeah. I just can't – where the heck is it at? It's going to bother me now. Oh, here we go. Yeah, it's 4.5 now. No Michael Penix Jr. for the Hoosiers. He's injured. And Michigan State, I mean, I still think they're kind of underrated. They have – they're loaded with weapons offensively. Their defense is above average. And this Indiana Hoosier offense is – they can't get anything going consistently. Even with Michael Penix Jr., their offense wasn't doing much. They rely heavily on their defense, but I don't see this Indiana defense being able to slow down the Spartan offense led by the wide receivers. And just give me Michigan State on the road here, minus 4.5. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I think that Penix being out actually helps Indiana.
What?
I think Penix is absolutely dreadful. He holds onto the ball far too long.
He might be onto something there.
Another thing, too, is Michigan State has their biggest game of the season next year against Big Brother Michigan. Sorry, in 2 weeks. So, I think that staying healthy and getting a win here is huge. I don't think margin of victory in the Big Ten is particularly important. But I could definitely see them looking ahead a little bit. And Indiana is not exactly a team that strikes fear in anyone, right? So they're going to throw a quarterback out there that they really don't have much game film on. That gives Tom Allen an opportunity to develop a game plan that really can maybe sneak up on Michigan State a little bit, right? And obviously, too, Indiana's had 2 weeks off. So they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this. And they are a team that's been haunted by turnovers this season. So they have, let's see, 9 turnovers in their 3 losses and 0 in their 2 wins. So I think the formula is pretty obvious for Indiana here. I think the game plan is going to be, you know, take the short intermediate route, establish the run, cut down on turnovers, whereas Michigan State's pass rush should absolutely wreak havoc on whoever they have back there. So this, to me, screams under. Initial move, the initial line opened at 51. It immediately shot down to 48. So the early money is definitely in on the under. I could not agree with it more. I think it matches up perfectly with an under. So, yeah, I'm not touching Indiana. I'm not digging their grave up. We're going to fade them even more and expect them not to score any points. So give me the under 48.
Yeah, I absolutely like that angle. That's definitely a solid angle you bring up there. Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting Michigan State to blow out in by any means. Indiana's defense is going to keep it relatively close. But at the end of the day, I expect Michigan State to get a touchdown victory in this one. All right, Oklahoma State at Texas. Texas coming off of that absolutely wild. That was probably the wildest game of the season. The Red River rivalry last week with Oklahoma. Bit of a disappointing... Actually, it was a really disappointing game for Texas, and that's an understatement. They jumped out early to a 2-score lead, and they couldn't hold on. They had Spencer Rattler rattled, pun intended on that one.
It doesn't seem to be hard to do this year.
even last year, he was benched last year, so he was benching. Rattler was benching last week's game, and they went with. We'll talk about Oklahoma later. But yeah, Texas absolutely atrocious loss in the Red River rivalry last week. They looked good in that first half, and then it all fell apart in that second half once Oklahoma switched quarterbacks. But this is a game where I like Texas here. Let's see. It opened up at Texas -3.5. It's since gone up to -4.5. Oklahoma State, they've had a solid season. They actually have the best run defense in the country, only giving up 91.7 rushing yards per game. And I mean, 91 yards rushing per game. And Texas has one of the best running backs in the nation and Bijan Robinson. So something's got to give there. But I fully expect the Longhorns and Steve Sarkisian to find different ways to give Bijan Robinson the ball via the passing game, so they don't have to deal with the run defense. They're still going to try to run it, obviously, but I fully expect them to find different ways to get their playmaker the ball in the passing game. This game is all about Texas offense. I don't see Oklahoma State Cowboys offense being able to keep pace with the Longhorns. The only way the Longhorns don't cover in this game is if they shoot themselves in the foot. If they turn the ball over, have stupid penalties, have touchdowns taken off the board due to penalties, that's the only way I don't see them winning this game and covering. And I expect Steve Sarkisian to correct their mistakes they made last season, and Texas to jump out ahead early and keep their foot on the gas pedal. And I'm expecting a Texas blowout here, to be honest. So give me Texas -4.5 on this one, Uncle Chet.
Yeah, this is without a doubt the fishiest line of the week for me. You've got an undefeated 12th ranked team going on the road, getting 5 points. It just seems a little trappy to me. I don't know. I don't believe in traps, but this one is you know, the evidence is piling up. But you know, let's look. So the early money pushed it up to 5.5. So yeah, the sharp guys are getting their money in early on Texas, but I just don't see how you can emotionally get up after the complete choke job of last week. I mean, I know that they played well enough to build the lead, but emotionally, you know, that was really their season. They've got 2 losses now. And in the Big 12, the way that, that the conference is configured, it's the two best teams, regardless of division, play in the title game. So Texas is pretty much all but eliminated. I mean, there are stranger things that have happened, but they're not playing in the conference title game, right? So this is also the best defense that Texas has played all year. They're, again, top 15 in rush, top 50 in pass. So this is a very well-balanced defense from Oklahoma State. Another thing, too, Oklahoma State's coming off a bye week, so they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. And, you know, when I'm looking at Texas's defense, they've given up 450 yards in all but one game this year. So for me, that's not a team I want to lay points with. You know, the back door could be wide open. This is a defense that can't force three and outs. This is a defense that can't create turnovers. I think Oklahoma State is probably the best kept secret in college football right now. They're 5-0, but they have quality wins against a really good Baylor team, a good Boise team, and a K-State team. So they're not playing cupcakes here. They have three quality wins. And, you know, at 5.5 points and a dead number, I like it. If it gets to 6, I would love it. But I like the Cowboys at +5.5.
Interesting. So you have Oklahoma State as probably the most underrated college football team so far?
I would say so. I would say Oklahoma State, Baylor. You're probably looking. Ole Miss, yes, but Ole Miss's defense is so bad that, you know, they play against a good defense. I think they would get smoked. So, but, yeah, I would say Oklahoma State. I think, probably Arizona State's still pretty undervalued. But, definitely Oklahoma State's right up there.
All right. Yeah, next up we got Bama at Mississippi State. Alabama's coming off of that brutal loss at College Station against Texas A&M last week. Texas A&M, they're a very hard school to figure out this season. Just up and down season for them. This line opened up at Alabama -20.5 on the road. It's since gone down to Alabama -17. Alabama beat Mississippi State last year 31-0. They shut them out on the road in Mississippi State. Alabama's coming off of a dreadful loss. Nick Saban's, you know, is going to whip them into shape. And Nick Saban's great against the spread coming off of a loss. They haven't had a back-to-back loss since 2012, I believe it was. So, I mean, I'm all on Bama this one on the road, -17. Yeah, I mean, I don't have much else. I mean, the Bama, I mean, I don't really know what else I could say. Like, Nick Saban coming off a loss, like, I'm not going to go against him in that situation. In the conference game, he needs to run up the score to get back in the good graces of the college playoff committee. So give me Alabama -17 here all the way.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with you. I don't think there's going to be anyone in the country holding a Mississippi State ticket, which is probably why we should bet Mississippi State. But
you're not wrong.
You know, yeah, regular season losses really aren't common in Tuscaloosa. So I went back and I looked at the last three times it's happened. They've lost three regular season games since 2015, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Two of which were from Ole Miss. So, but you know, you go back to 2015, what happened the next game? 34-0,
yep.
UL Monroe. You go back 2017, regular season loss to Auburn. The next game they play is Clemson. They win 24-6. 2019, the next game, Mississippi State, they win 38-7. So all three of those regular season losses were followed by a game where they covered this point spread, area. So, you know, the intensity and the focus should be at an all-time high. Nick Saban is someone who is going to give these guys an ass-chewing of a lifetime, specifically about how many yards they gave up, right? So I think as a defensive-minded head coach, Saban's real focus this week is going to be the defense. Now, I think that Saban has a little extra juice, too, because – you got a guy like Mike Leach, who is looked upon as one of the creators of the air raid offense. I think Saban takes pride in shutting these quirky offenses down. I think he likes it, as evidenced by a 41-0 win last year. And Mississippi State has zero running game. They're not going to run the ball, which makes a defensive game plan much better. And they should really be able to pin their ears back in obvious throwing downs and really create. I think Alabama's going to create a ton of turnovers, and I think that's going to lead to short fields. I like the 17 seems way too low here, but I'd lay the 17. hell, I might even try to parlay it with the first half. But yeah, I think Mississippi State, to quote Rube Baker from Major League Two, Mississippi State is on the train, on the train tracks, the train's coming through. And I think they're in a lot of trouble. So yeah, a Bama all the way here.
All right, we're both on the same side on this one. We know what happens when that happens. All right, another Big 12 matchup here. TCU Horned Frogs at Oklahoma Sooners. This line opened up at Oklahoma minus 12.5. It since got down to Oklahoma minus 13.5. There was a weird story that came out today about Oklahoma and their quarterback situation. Obviously, last Saturday, Spencer Rattler was benched for freshman quarterback Caleb Wilson. Caleb Wilson came in and led Oklahoma to a comeback victory in Red River Rivalry. Lincoln Riley hasn't announced their starting quarterback for this week. He's been trying to keep it hush-hush. But something came out today. It's pretty funny. The student newspaper for Oklahoma University, a reporter from that newspaper was caught taking pictures of practice from a building overlooking the practice field, and he said that Caleb Wilson was taking first team snaps in practice.
Wow.
I mean, that's all surprising. I mean, after Lincoln Riley, he had that impressive comeback victory last week. I fully expected him to be the starter for at least for this week, if not the rest of the season. So, I mean, but since that happened, Lincoln Riley is like, okay, no more media availability at our practices this week. No more. Y'all are cut off. So that came out, and I thought Caleb Wilson was going to be quarterback before this happened today, and that this just reaffirmed my thoughts about it. I don't really lean one way or another in this matchup here. I mean, Caleb Wilson looked impressive last week, but there's no tape on him. Now there's tape on him. TCU got some tape on him from last week, so they'll be able to game plan against him a little bit better. But these are two atrocious defenses. It is the Big 12. The over-under is 65. I think you guys might know where I'm going with this right now. And I'm going with the over 65 total points. TCU's offense is really good as well with Dugan as a quarterback, and they have offensive weapons. And they'll be able to – I don't know who covers this game. I expect Oklahoma to win this game outright. But I expect TCU to keep pace with them relatively, not match touchdown for touchdown, but be able to put up at least 30 points in this game, along with Oklahoma putting up 50 points in their own right. So give me over 65 in this game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that. I think there's a little weirdness going on with this particular line. I mean, early on in the week, you know, TCU is getting 18% of the tickets but 75% of the money, yet the point spread is moving in the direction of Oklahoma. It's going up. So a little bizarre to me. You don't see that every day. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I have no idea what's going on with this line. So, you know, I personally like the TCU side. I like to play the letdown spot. I think that a huge emotional win. You've expended a ton of energy. TCU's coming off a huge confidence building win against a pretty good Texas Tech team, and they dominated that game on both sides of the ball. You know, another thing that lends itself to your over, which I agree with, is, you know, the OU rush defense is top 10, and TCU is a run heavy team at 236 yards per game. Now, that doesn't scream under. However, I think it's going to force TCU to throw the ball, and I think it's going to lead to a lot of possessions and a lot of plays. So, you know, I like the over big time. And here's a little bit more to your point. You know, both teams have cashed overs like crazy this year. OU is 4-2 to the over this year, whereas TCU is 3-2 to the over. So both teams play overs. And yeah, I like the TCU side. I like Gary Patterson. I think he's one of the best coaches, most underrated coaches in the country. And I think that, you know, OU is going to get their points. But I think through the air, OU can be exposed, as evidenced of what Texas did last week. So I like the TCU side, but I love the over 65.
Yeah, I was leaning TCU plus 13.5, but ultimately it's too tough a call for me to make an official pick. So I just
I just don't see Oklahoma hasn't proven they can be tested in this point spread range this year. You know,
absolutely.
They've been heavy chalk several times this year, and to the best of my recollection, they haven't held up their end of the bargain. So, you know, laying points with them, sure, maybe they'll cover, but long term this year they haven't done it.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Ole Miss at Tennessee. Let's see here. This line opened up as, let's see. Here we go. Open up at Ole Miss -3.5 on the road. It's since gone down to Ole Miss -2.5 over under. Open up at 78.5. It's gone up to 82.5. So they're expecting a ton of points in this one, and that's not a bad play. I mean, these are two of the best offenses statistically this season. Matt Corral, he's a Heisman candidate favorite so far this point in time, and this Ole Miss offense, they're flying high. What was that? I don't know, something came out on your end there.
No, I'm not quite sure. Maybe there's a ghost. I'm not quite
Yeah, so Ole Miss, they got that big home victory against Arkansas last week, 52-51. Oh my goodness. And they lost to Alabama on the road, 42-21. So they're coming off of two back-to-back huge games for that program. Beating Tennessee's one of the most surprising team out of the SEC this season, the 4-2. But their wins haven't really come against anybody. I mean, they beat South Carolina 45-20. They beat Missouri on the road, 62-24. They lost to Florida, 38-14 in Florida at the Swamp. They beat Texas Tech, 56-0 at home. They lost to Pittsburgh, 41-34 at home. They beat Bowling Green, 38. So, I mean, their wins haven't come from impressive opponents this season. The quality opponents that they have played, they've kind of fallen flat. That being said, this Ole Miss defense, I don't see them being able to slow down this Tennessee Volunteer offense. I agree with that 82.5 point over-under. I'm not going to touch it, though, because I want to see what happens. But I feel much more confident with Ole Miss. Ole Miss -3.5 to -2.5. I expect they should be able to win by a field goal on the road here. I just like what I've seen more from Ole Miss and bigger games this season than I've seen from Tennessee. And I like the quarterback a lot better for Ole Miss than I do the Volunteers. So give me Ole Miss here -3.5, -2.5. I'm sorry, and I expect to win by at least a field goal. Any thoughts on this one here, Uncle Chet?
Yeah, I think we're aligned again. I think it's important to note this is probably going to be the best environment of the weekend. For the listeners who, you know, maybe it might be 10, 12 years ago, but you know, Lane Kiffin, the current head coach of Ole Miss, was once the head coach of Tennessee for 1 year, and then basically broke the contract to accept the USC job. And, you know, it was very tense on campus, and he got a few death threats. So this is going to be a really interesting environment, and I can promise you Rocky Top hasn't forgotten. So this is going to be an absolutely insane environment. You know, I think that the over is probably the strongest over of the weekend. I mean, you look at Tennessee, they're scoring 41 points a game, Ole Miss is scoring 46 points a game. You know, they just simply do, if they each do, what is that? I mean, if they just perform their season average offensively, this will cash no problem. But again, both defenses are extremely poor. So I don't see any issues with this. I also think that if Lane Kiffin gets the opportunity with the better quarterback to run the score up, I think he's going to do it. And I think that it would be a natural letdown after that huge win in the last second. But I think because of Lane Kiffin's history, I think he's fully focused here. So, you know, if at 3 or lower, I love it. At 4, I don't love it as much. But I think that, you know, Mississippi will cash touchdowns more often than Tennessee will. So I think 4 would also be safe, but you put a gun to my head, I'm definitely siding with Mississippi here, but the over is by far the strongest play.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me out of 10 drives, how many touchdowns I expect Ole Miss to score on those 10 drives, I'd say about 80%, maybe 90%. If you ask me about Tennessee, I'd say maybe 6, 7 out of 10, maybe max. So I just have more confidence in this Rebel offense than I do Tennessee.
Absolutely. And I think if you're looking at the schedule here, you know, you don't really have a lot of winnable games left, right? So you have to think after this, they're playing LSU. They'll probably be a small dog, maybe a small favorite, close. They'll definitely be a dog at Auburn.
Who are you talking about here? Tennessee?
No, I'm talking about Mississippi. Sorry.
Okay.
So, yeah, looking at Mississippi's schedule, they're going to be a dog in a majority of their games. And I think that Matt Corral, being the second strongest Heisman candidate in Vegas right now, I think that a Heisman winner for the Ole Miss program would be huge for recruiting. So if you don't think that Lane Kiffin knows that and he wants to get his school some exposure, I think you're sorely mistaken. I think that they're going to be throwing like crazy. They're going to be going for it on fourth. They're going to be throwing at the goal line because they want a Heisman Trophy for their program to get them on the map. So, yeah, I definitely think they're going to go for the throw here.
Absolutely, and they got their eye on a New Year's Six bowl game as well. They're not out of the running for that by any means.
Not at all.
All right, LSU, Florida at LSU here. Line opened up at LSU. -1.5-point favorites. It's since flipped to Florida -11.5, so that's kind of clunky right there. I don't really have too many thoughts on this game. This is a game you brought up, so why don't you tell us why you're here.
I love this one. Obviously, you know, Florida's going on the road to LSU, and LSU's home field is as good as any in college football. But it's completely neutralized because this is a 9 a.m. kick. Now, LSU's home field advantage at night is elite. It's probably the best in college football, maybe other than Penn State. But immediately neutralized. Florida, after last week's loss, is slipped to fourth in the SEC East. So they can absolutely not afford another conference loss. And also, too, last year, you know, LSU, as a 21-point dog, a 14-point dog, knocked off Florida 37-34. And Florida was really never the same after that. So I think that this is huge revenge for Florida here. And I think it's just, you know, from a stylistic standpoint, a really bad matchup for LSU. Not to mention that Coach O is most likely a lame duck coach. And the players are hearing this through the media. They know that, right? So, you know, LSU's rush defense is 77th in the nation. They're allowing 154 yards per game on the ground. That's generally indicative of a team that's effort is just isn't quite where it should be, specifically because they have the athletes that are generally elite or superior to their opponent, right? Mm-hmm. So whereas Florida's rush offense is third in the nation to 273 yards per game. So I think this is a bad matchup for LSU. I think this is bad timing for LSU. And considering Florida got knocked off last week, I think this is just, again, a bad spot for LSU and a great spot for Florida. And you know, looking at the schedule, Florida obviously plays Georgia. And normally I would factor in the look ahead, but considering they lost a conference game last week, they're going to be absolutely laser focused. And, you know, think about it this way. LSU allowed 330 yards rushing to the Wildcats. So imagine what Florida's going to do. I think Florida's going to run the ball down their throat. I think they're going to break their will. And I think this can get really ugly late. So go ahead and lay the 10 with Florida.
Yeah, I actually want to correct you here real quick, though. It was 2 weeks ago Florida got knocked off in Kentucky. Last week, last week they beat Vanderbilt 42-0.
Vanderbilt. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, nonetheless, it's still fresh in their mind. They're fourth in the SEC West, East, which is not something that's commonplace for them. So, you know, this is fresh in their mind. They can't afford to lose another one. Generally, like I said, I could see them looking ahead to Georgia, but they can't do that. They're not in a position to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. They're in a win. They're not every game is must win mode right now.
Bingo. Yep.
LSU, they're just so disappointing. They bleed. You hit the nail right on the head there. Their defense bleeds yardage in the running game, and that's what Florida does. That's what Florida does best is rush the ball. So they're gonna be able to control the time of possession, control the clock in this one. LSU, they're missing a bunch of key players through injury. Just it's not good in Baton Rouge this season. And you said it, Coach O is a bit on the hot seat here. So give me the team that has more to play for in this one with the Gators. But I'm leaning that way. It's not an official pick. That's your pick. That does it for our seven games we got on the list here. You got anything else you want to bring up here?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and go over one more game, and I'll just fire off three picks I like, and then we're good, man. So the last game that I really want to go in, not in depth, but just a couple notes here, is the Kentucky at Georgia game between the Hedges and Athens. Georgia's a 21.5-point favorite, total is 44.5. Georgia is allowing 2.2 yards per carry on the ground. Now, you heard that right. They're allowing 2.2 yards per carry. Everyone knows what Kentucky's offense is built around. It's about built around running the football. They are one-dimensional. This is a bad, bad matchup for Kentucky. They're a very good team. But again, styles make fights. This is not a good fight for Kentucky. Georgia hasn't allowed an offensive touchdown in the first half since week one. So I think that this sets up for a really nice first half play. And again, I think the Bulldogs are in a position to look ahead a little bit to Florida. So I think that if the Bulldogs can build a big lead early, I think they're just going to really, bleed the clock and get out healthy. And, Kentucky's quarterback, Levis, he hasn't thrown for 200 yards per game this year. So, again, I think this is a really, really bad matchup for Kentucky. You can probably get a first half play at 13.5, I'm assuming. And I think that's fantastic. And, so go ahead and lay the points of the Bulldogs there. I think they're clear-cut best team in the country. And quick fire here, I like Baylor -6. I like Virginia Tech +5. They opened as a favorite. Now they're getting 5 at home. And I like UNC -7. Miami has all but quit on the season, whereas UNC getting a win over even a bad Miami team is still, big for their program. So give me the Georgia, give me Baylor, Virginia Tech, and the Tar Heels.
All right, there you have it. That's all. We kept it under 40 minutes this time. Go us. All right, that does it for another episode of the Money Train Sports Betting Podcast. As always, thanks for listening. Let's win some money this weekend, guys. Let's do it.